The state releases new information about the federally run online health insurance marketplace. Governor Herbert says he's in no rush to make a decision on Medicaid expansion. And overnight storms cause flooding in Alpine. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, August 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. Some new information was released Thursday about how the Affordable Care Act will impact Utah consumers. Utahns shopping for health insurance on the federal online marketplace will have 99 plan choices. The state insurance department also provided an estimate for what these options will cost Utah consumers. Also yesterday, they compared the federal prices to the state's exchange for small businesses, known as Avenue H. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Six insurance companies are offering medical plans on the individual federal marketplace in Utah. On the low end, a 27-year-old living in Salt Lake County could pay as little as $162 a month for an insurance plan that covers 70% of medical costs. By contrast, the same plan in the state's exchange for small businesses would be $217. In each premium estimate provided by the department, the federally run exchange was cheaper. State officials say small group insurance is generally more expensive because of the uncertainty in the market and the risk to insurers. State Assistant Insurance Department Commissioner Tanji Northrup shared the data publicly for the first time at a meeting of the legislature's Health Insurance Reform Task Force. Lawmakers wanted to know how the rates Utahns are paying would change. Northrup says it depends on who you are.
In general, you will see the younger people who are healthy and so at the lowest rates, they'll see their rates go up the most. For older people who may be unhealthy, they may even see a rate decrease rather than an increase. And so it's all of the premium rates in the market normalizing to kind of a midpoint.
Northrup says it's difficult to compare prices before and after the Affordable Care Act because benefits are also changing. Plans will be required to cover mental health and maternity care, for instance. Insurance companies will also no longer be able to deny coverage to those with pre-existing conditions. The federal insurance marketplace will be open for shopping beginning October 1st. Americans will be required to have insurance by January or pay a penalty. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
At his monthly conference on KUED yesterday, Utah Governor Gary Herbert says he'll likely make a decision on whether to expand Medicaid in the state by early next year, and he doesn't want to be rushed. Utah is among a handful of states facing the decision as the Affordable Care Act rolls out this fall. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
A community group made up of state lawmakers, industry experts, and healthcare advocates are in the midst of drafting several options. Those include fully or partially expanding Medicaid eligibility, state self-reliance, and charity care. They'll present those recommendations at the Governor's Health Innovation Summit next month. Governor Herbert says he'll consider those options before approaching state lawmakers in next year's legislative session to make a decision.
But I can assure you, I'm not going to be rushed on this. We have decisions being made in this country today on health care, particularly on the Affordable Care Act, on Medicaid and Medicaid expansion, being made based on political rationale, as opposed to what is common sense or what's in the best interest of the people and the taxpayer.
Herbert says at the end of the day, Utah needs access to high-quality, affordable health care, which he says the state already has.
We only have about 14% of our population in Utah that don't have access to, in fact, some kind of insurance. Half of those could afford to get it if they would choose to get it. So now we're talking about 7% of our population, and yet we're having a significant overhaul of our health care system in a state that really is doing pretty well.
There's no deadline for Utah to expand Medicaid. However, states that have decided to expand will begin receiving additional federal money for the program on January 1st. If Utah does not expand Medicaid by that time, the state could miss out on some of those funds. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Water levels in Utah are reaching critical lows in some areas of the state, so much so that in northern Utah, cities have asked residents to cut their water use in half or face penalties. Utah Governor Gary Herbert told reporters at his monthly news conference on KUED the state is putting together a water plan for the next 50 years. It includes reducing 25% of the state's water consumption by 2025.
That means also finding better grasses, for example, in our landscaping efforts, more xeriscape, more drought-resistant grasses that still give aesthetics but don't use as much water, not as much consumption.
But the governor adds there is room for water development, which could include a proposal to bring water into the Wasatch Front from the Bear River.
Bear River Basin is one that still has capacity of more water. And how we develop that, the cost associated with that, is something that needs to be analyzed and determined. What's the cost to the benefit?
Utah has had poor snowpack for 2 years in a row and just came out of the hottest July on record. Democratic Utah Congressman Jim Matheson is again the recipient of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Spirit of Enterprise Award. The honor is given annually to members of Congress based on their votes supporting business and free trade. Matheson received the honor last year along with seven other Democrats. Matheson says it's important for government to allow entrepreneurs to do business, but he does see a place for government regulation.
I think that it's important for government to set good public policy that encourages economic growth. Sometimes that means it should stay out of the way. But I think we've learned that at some point you need a referee somewhere on the field or in the sidelines. So I think we ought to be careful about too much of an all or none description. But that being said, I do think it's important that that we, in our public policy role, make sure there are level playing fields for people to compete.
Matheson has high praise for the state's Prosperity 2020 vision for higher education. He lists an educated workforce as the number one priority for a stronger economy. Numbers 2 through 5, he says, are a stable, well-priced energy supply, open markets, reasonable regulations, and an overhaul of our tax system.
Homeowners in Alpine are cleaning up and checking damage from floodwaters triggered by thunderstorms and heavy rain overnight. The Salt Lake Tribune reports a Utah County Sheriff's Office dispatcher said there were no reports of serious flooding inside homes. However, several yards in Alpine were inundated with muddy water as heavy rainfall rolled off the nearby slopes, left bare by the wildfire above the city last summer. Starting this fall, University of Utah sports fans can board FrontRunner tracks and buses from anywhere and use their U Athletic event tickets as fare. The U's Commuter Services and the Utah Transit Authority announced their partnership yesterday to provide public transportation to the U for athletic events. Alma Allred, Director of Commuter Services, says it's an effort to decrease the demand for parking during U athletic events and to enhance the university's commitment to sustainability. Police have arrested seven people after finding small amounts of meth and nine children at a Provo home. Provo Police and the Utah County Major Crimes Task Force served a search warrant Tuesday night at 60-year-old Darren Good's home. Task Force spokesman Lieutenant Phil Murphy says Good was arrested on drug distribution charges and told police he sells drugs to support his family. The children, ages 3 to 15 years old, are now in the custody of the state's Child Welfare Agency. The enrollment fallout at Utah colleges and universities from the age drop of LDS missionaries will not be as significant as originally feared as fall classes get underway. The Deseret News reports the projected dip of up to 10% in enrollment numbers is being lessened, in part to an out-of-state tuition waiver passed by the legislature this year that allowed for increased recruitment efforts. Presidents from a number of state schools came to Wednesday's Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee meeting in Salt Lake City. 10 people were hospitalized after exposure to hazardous fumes in downtown Salt Lake City's Temple Square. Officials say about 50 people were inside a small visitor center yesterday morning when a janitor inside accidentally mixed two chemicals that caused the toxic fumes.
And Dan Nalen, KUER's entertainment contributor, here to remind us that, well, despite the whole back-to-school thing, there's still plenty of summer left, right?
That's right. Well, first of all, you know, when it comes to bacon, there's people who love bacon, and there's people who are wrong, right? I mean, and at Granary Row, which is this little sort of pop-up entertainment complex and market that's been open all summer, just Thursday through Saturday nights, it's located on 7th South between 3rd and 4th West. They've built this little community of shops and art galleries. There's a stage for live bands outside out of old railroad cars and shipping containers. So it's a pretty cool sort of refurbished use of a mini market. There's a beer garden that Uinta's running and everything. It's been going all summer. Different food trucks are down there every weekend. You can check out different grub. So this Friday, they're doing Bacon Fest. So every food truck involved has something to do with that lovely, delicious meat.
Wow. Yeah, where do you find this stuff?
This sounds great.
It's a pretty cool thing, and you're just being outside in the summertime. Sure. If you're sitting in the little beer garden, if you're walking around checking out a little art gallery, or there are some cool little shops of unique products, sort of startup companies, little mini bikes, things like that.
Right.
Pretty cool way to spend a night outside downtown, that's for sure.
Yeah, and let's talk about blues.
Yeah.
Say the word.
The Ogden Friends of Acoustic Music, who throw a big folk and bluegrass festival earlier in the summer, they're throwing for the first time a Roots and Blues Festival, and it's located up at North Fork Park up in Weber County. I would encourage people just to go to their website, Google the Ogden Friends of Acoustic Music, find out about it. Great lineup. On Friday night, they have Bill Kirchen, who's a guitar legend. He gave our legendary Porch Pounders their name when he met them. Betty Levette, amazing singer. She's one of the headliners. Wood Brothers is playing. Joe McQueen, local saxophone jazz legend. He's on the bill. So it goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up there. Really cool stuff. A great opportunity, again, to be outside here towards the end of summer before everybody's back at school and hunkered down inside.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at Sleen.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, August 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.